Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. And I got to let you know, today was a four false start, or Lane Johnsons, as we call them, to this show. You know, the idea was to get a countdown show done. I was supposed to record with Dan earlier. Had some family stuff, not bad stuff. Family coming from out of town, so I had to postpone that one. Then I was going to do the countdown, which got all my research done. Then it comes across the waiver wire. Up, 49ers added two, cut two. So then, all right, cool. I get to go build this, you know, NFL profile and scouting report on these two players, which I love. Get that done. And then you get the press conference from Kyle, which I'm going to update everybody on, which was supposed to happen yesterday, but the 49ers media is always weird. So then, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch Kyle. I won't go through the players right now. I got to get the show done. I got some stuff that's going on. I didn't have that much time. So it's funny because if you follow us on YouTube and our scheduled timing, this show's been scheduled pushback, scheduled pushback, scheduled pushback. It's just kind of the way it goes. But excited for today. This is episode 1652 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. Have to say thank you to our executive producers of all of our shows, Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, and David Gill, the best of the best. So what we're going to do is couple tidbits on Kyle's presser. Then we're going to jump into two brand new 49ers that were just added today, and in our countdown series. And it's funny because, you know, the NFL roster is 90 players. You get 91 with the international pathway. And then we've covered Sincere McCormick, who was cut or waived. And Derek Forrest gets placed on IR. So, you know, 90 turns to 91, turns to 92, turns to 93. And so, yeah, we're going to have a couple numbers that, you know, replicate because I want to make sure we cover the new guys for sure. So anyway, don't be sticklers with the actual numbers of the process, but it's a killer for us as it always is. But excited because we got new 49ers and it's at a position of huge need. Probably the biggest takeaway from Kyle Shanahan's press conference was Isaac Arendo tore his pec lifting weights a month ago. Man, the 49ers don't leak, do they? you get a player on the roster, tears his pec a month ago. Nobody knows about it. But man, Grindo just can't, he just can't stay healthy. Like, and I would be willing to bet, which I don't like to do. I like to bet, but not in a negative light, right? I don't know if he ever suits up for the 49ers again. Now, partially, this injury could help him. It could secure a roster spot for him by staying on the PUP because he's not going to count as a roster spot. Now, Kyle Shanahan was asked, was it a season-ending pec injury? He said, not a season-ending, but probably to the end of training camp. So, like, man, he's not that good anyway. He's never been healthy. He's going into his third season. Hasn't participated really in any training camps whatsoever. He's missed three now out of three. Put him on PUP. And just put them on the shelf, break glass in case of emergency, right? But I don't know why, what emergency you would want Isaac Grindo out there playing with the fumbles, lack of vision, can't run screens properly. Just, I don't know what to do with the dude, man. And there's a reason why he never started college at two separate schools in five seasons. He's had now the three NFL seasons, his five college seasons. He has been injured seven out of eight consecutive seasons. That's as injury prone as you're going to get. Now, does that mean, oh, his pec was more likely to be torn because he's had all these injuries? No, it's just this guy just cannot stay healthy, whether it's hamstrings, knees, ankles, pecs, it doesn't matter. It's like a game of operation. And it sucks. Like, I'm not trying to make light of it. How many injuries can you have? Like, dude's Mr. Glass, and I hate it whenever people do that, you know, tear these players down. I'm not trying to do that, but the facts are the facts. 7 injuries out of 8 seasons? Man, my problem with Guerrero has always been, dude, it's hard to get a running back that has no vision at all. Like, just none. And then the fumbling issues on top of it. Yeah, height, weight, speed guy, whatever else. So that's huge. Joint practices are going to be with the Titans and Chargers. That was kind of to be expected. Interesting, you do play the Chargers. Not that it matters much. Like, that's not that big of a deal. Trent is the only player that hasn't reported. Didn't talk about why. Said he's going to be there next week. You know, you had to put the no holdout clause into his contract. Trent don't want to be there. There's no I understand. I'm not overly concerned about this. He's under contract. Trent knows what to do, and he's going to have half the days off anyway. But it's nice to have everybody in the building. Probably one of my favorite things from the presser. Also, Odighizuwa, they asked Kyle about it. He said, one of the best leaders of the team so far. Not a shock. If you watched our show when they signed him, and, you know, we've talked about Osa a lot and how he was the Dallas Cowboys glue. He was the locker room guy, and they went through a lot. Had, you know, player die. He was the guy that kind of led that whole effort, kept everybody, like, this dude is for real. And, you know, me and Wayne were talking Tuesday, man, who are going to be the captains? I said Osa should be. And now I'm like even more like, oh, hell yeah. Yeah, Osa, Odighizuwa, going to be a captain after getting traded for and showing up, doing what he's got to do. Ah, I freaking love it. My thing that I wanted to know the most was who's taking reps at the number 3 or Sam linebacker. They tried to get it out of him. Didn't go well. They asked him, is there a leader at the Sam or the number 3 linebacker? He said, nope. He said, there's a big time competition for 3, 4, 5, and 6. You got Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, 1, 2. That's easy. After that, who knows? But like, who's taking reps at Sam? it's very easy follow up, guys. Come on now. Who's taking reps there? At least that. Who's taking reps? Who's returning punts? Come on. Be better. But anyway, very curious to see how that's going to go. And then, you know, I watched a little bit of Eeyore's press conference. You know, there's players up too. Nick Bosa was on there. I can only take so much before I fall asleep. But Nick Bosa did say, quote, it's going really well and was injured early, so he's taking it slow, end quote. Those are good things. Those are all good things to hear. So those are kind of my main takeaways for, you know, just kind of what's going on with, the entire whatever. And we'll get more information, and there'll be a lot more news coming out and all that kind of stuff. But it definitely didn't want to leave those. And, you know, as we kind of conclude, I want to go through the chat a little bit. Today's episode is about the roster countdown. Most importantly, the two newest 49ers, Jordan Mims and Jamar Jefferson, which both are running backs. I said whenever we covered Sincere McCormick as one of our back into the roster guys, running back room is light. Even with Kalon Black, like, they are light, 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 light. And then you add on to that the injury of Isaac Grindo, and now it's even lighter. It makes a lot of sense why they added not one, but two running backs in Jordan Mims and Jamar Jefferson. We're going to tell you all about them. Before you leave today's show, you're going to know everything you need to know about the two newest 49ers. Appreciate all the hashtag CC's countdown crew coming in strong. Happy to be here, David. Appreciate you, man. Yan says, you know, should have cut Grindo 2 years ago. Should have drafted him. But I don't mind taking chances on height, weight, speed guys. But man, it's like you can't draft quarterbacks that aren't accurate. You can't draft cornerbacks that are slow. You can't draft wide receivers that can't catch. You can't draft running backs that can't see. Like, there are certain thresholds. This guy's got to be able to do this. And, you know, it's a day 3 pick. That's, I think, 4th round. But, yikes. Yikes, yikes, yikes. What's up, Thomas? Man, appreciate you, brother. I'm sorry, but Guerrero needs to go. Well, the thing is, he's not going to count against the roster. So it's not a huge move to just stash him. Like, you just put him on PUP. He doesn't count against the roster. He doesn't. It's an extra, like, there's not a negative in keeping a player on PUP. One, if you cut a player on injury, you got to pay an injury settlement. that comes out of the owner's pocket more than anything else. But like, there's no reason to, because with the torn pec, you could play in 6 months. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan said it's going to take him up against, you know, training camp, which they said it happened a month ago. I don't know the exact whatever, but let's say it happened in April, right? That's the when did it happen in April? Kind of the earliest he's going to be available is September, but probably October. Just put him on the pup and just keep him there. And, you know, if he was working out at the facility as pup, if he's working off at home and he got injured, that's NFI. That's less money for him. Hopefully he was at the facility. Man, if you're a bubble roster player, you know, practice squad, whatever, work out of the facility. You get hurt there, you get paid. You get hurt at home, even if it is lifting weights or doing drills. Nah. NFL going to take their money and keep it. But, yeah, the good news, if there is good news, Grindo has a little bit more longevity with the 49ers now because he was a cut casualty guy anyway. But now you don't really have to. You just keep him on pup the entire time. Past the 53 doesn't count. And if you get into November and, God forbid, Kalen Black, Jordan James, Christian McCaffrey get hurt, you can just bring him out off the reserve. Out of the fridge, he'd be ready to go. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel, pick up the kids, they're out of school, adventure, it's all out there. For others, juggling it can be tough and can lead to being overwhelmed and counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting their days of sunshine. Well, therapy can help better understand their needs. Feel more confident about setting boundaries. Create a version of summer that actually feels good. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works. Their average rating is 4.9 out of 5 for live sessions based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. And they do all the initial matching work with you for the therapist. Short questionnaire helps identify your needs, your preferences, and over 12 years of experience in the industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they're typically get it right the first time. But if you're not happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from all of the tailored recommendations. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy, sign up, and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel, pick up the kids, they're out of school, adventure, it's all out there. For others, juggling it can be tough and can lead to being overwhelmed and counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting their days of sunshine. Well, therapy can help better understand their needs. Feel more confident about setting boundaries. Create a version of summer that actually feels good. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works. Their average rating is 4.9 out of 5 for live sessions based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. And they do all the initial matching work with you for the therapist. Short questionnaire helps identify your needs, your preferences, and over 12 years of experience in the industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they're typically get it right the first time. But if you're not happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from all of the tailored recommendations. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy, sign up, and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Yeah, right here, David. He's just not made for it. Some 49ers love him. That's good. Champion your players. Like, have the dialogue. That's what we're here for, to inform you on these players. But, yeah, get your guys. Oh, look at this. The man, 49ers faithful forever, 90. Shout out to Josh, Zach, and Ben. They are the curators, the designers, the blueprint engineers of this 91, now 92, man roster series. Appreciate you, brother. What's up, Nicholas? We got Niners Par in the house. Let's go. 404 here's what's up. Colin, my man. He says, John, see you in Australia. I cannot wait. Can't wait. Australia and Mexico City, we have all-inclusive travel packages up at 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. You just click on any of the Mexico or Australia events, whether that's day before party, tailgate, you'll see the link for the all-inclusive travel package if you want that. But if you just want to come to one of the events or both, those are there a la carte. But if you want the full travel package with flights, hotels, transportation to and from the game, all-inclusive tailgate, you name it, those are up, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Just click on any of the events for Australia or Mexico. You'll see the link in there for those. And Colin, I cannot wait to see you, man. We have been exchanging messages and emails and Zoom meetings, all kinds of stuff. Cannot wait. First drinks on me, as always. That is what it is. That is what it is, man. Appreciate you. What's up, Brian? You are the freaking man. So right here, Debster. What's up, Debster? You're one of the best. She says, what is your take on the running backs, she clarified later, that we just got? So, without further ado, let's dive into the 49ers roster countdown of 2026. Now, here's the way that this works. We do this every year, all 90 players. Jordan Mims comes in at number 82 and Jamar Jefferson, number 81. These are the two running backs that were just added. And we're going to dive in and tell you everything that you need to know about both of them. Now, here's the funny thing, maybe not funny. They're very similar. They're both kind of bowling ball, bigger styled, slow plotting running backs that are hard to bring down. But I want to give each one of them their own, right? Treat them with the respect that they deserve. These are veteran running backs that have journeyed through the NFL over the past 3 to 4 years, have not found a home, have not got a lot of volume, but have been on a lot of teams. There is way too many similarities, but let's dive into number 82, Jordan Mims first. Let's go through it. Then we'll go 81, Jamar Jefferson. And I'm going to apologize because a lot of the stuff, they're so similar. Their journeys, similar. Height, weight, speed, similar. Usage of the NFL, similar. So I don't want to sound redundant, but they're there's just a lot of similarities. So Jordan Mims, running back, 6'205", 26 years old. He turns 27 next month, June 16th. He's a big all-around short yardage back that can catch. He has the most receiving prowess of the two. Not that, I'm not trying to say Jamar Jefferson can't catch, but Jordan Mims is the receiving option. But he's 6'205", and he runs a 4.65. Like, he is not fast. There's a reason why this player was on the waiver wire. There's a reason why both these guys were. He's from Fresno State, went to East Palo Alto. That's where he's born and raised. Went to Midlo Atherton High School, and he was a killer there. 321 rush yards in one game in high school. And, you know, probably my favorite thing whenever we're talking about Jordan Mims, his biggest games in high school, his biggest games in college, all came in the playoffs or bowl games or games that mattered. His biggest games. So when the lights are bright, Jordan Mims is at his best. That is huge. He was an undrafted free agent in 2023, and he's now with his fourth team. He was with the Bills first, then the Saints, then the Titans. Now he's with the 49ers. Pulled up some tape back at Fresno State. Bulldogs, go Dogs. Big power back, doesn't change direction well, like at all. Like, he runs through. He is not a juke, whatever. And I always use the phrase make people miss. Like, Kalen Black doesn't make people miss. He has a lot of broken tackles. That's not making people miss in my definition. So maybe I need to clarify that. People fall off of him. Like, Jahmyr Gibbs makes people miss, right? Like the juke and the agility and all that stuff, that's making people miss. You're not getting that from Kalen Black, Jordan Mims, Jahmyr Jefferson. That's not what they do. These are bowling ball, Maurice Jones-Drew, just shrugging people off like middle school children at a daycare. You know, just get off me. Like, that's what he is. And, like, it's funny because I watched his tape first, and I was like, all right, he's slow. Looked up his pro day numbers, 4.65 in the 40-yard dash, slow. 753 cone. That means change of direction, no bueno. This dude is a north-south, not even a one-cut runner, I would say. Just a big power back. That's just what he is. But very good receiving. He had 91 career receptions in college, 18 career touchdowns, which I did like. His best skill set is short yardage, falling forward, getting positive yards, feet move on contact. That is what I like probably most about Jordan Mims' game. You know, in 3 years in the NFL, he's played in 17 games. 20 rush attempts for 70 yards, not good. 12 receptions on 18 targets, not bad. 71 yards, he had 3 first downs in the receiving game. 71 career special team snaps with 1 kickoff return for 19 yards. He's not a returner. He is not a returner. He is not a returner. Maybe you have him up in the Brian Robinson role and kickoff as a blocker, perhaps, because of the size. But, you know, I don't know the contract. I don't know the number. We don't have those things yet. But, you know, you're talking about a guy. I don't want to say this, 404. He's a tackling dummy. Got it. I would say he's more than that. But at worst, you got these two guys that are going to get a lot of reps and fight for a practice squad battle. The running back depth chart set. Christian McCaffrey. Now, there's a battle for number two, Jordan James versus Kaden Black, but they're both making this roster. Isaac Rendo's now on PUP. Way to go. Patrick Taylor Jr., like, if you need a vet step in to, you know, break glass in case of a... Patrick Taylor Jr. can do everything. Very strong, powerful runner, consistent, can catch out of the backfield, can do special teams, can return in the kickoff game if you need to. He can do whatever you want. Jamar Jefferson, Jordan Mims, you're fighting for a practice squad spot or an injury that gives you a chance and you kind of seize the moment. That's about it. Dempster, John, you're not making me feel all warm and squishy about Mims. I'm trying my hardest to... This is the number 82 player on the roster that was added and wasn't on an NFL roster despite every team having 91 players. That's what you get here. This isn't, you know, nobody's going out and buying a Jordan Mims jersey. No slight to him. It's just, let's be realistic with what we got going on right here. Let's be realistic. And he's tough. He's going to give you a very, very good look. He could do a little bit of everything, but I doubt there's going to be a lot of play calls set up for my man Jordan Mims. All right, let's get to number 81. Jamar Jefferson, the other newest 49ers running back in a room that needs depth big time right after this.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, number 81, newest 49er, Jamar Jefferson. Fun name. I like that. Angry. Plays angry. I in my quest to differentiate these two running backs, 5'10", 212, like he's shorter but thicker. He's mean, man. His tape is just attitude. That's what I mean. He's a mean player, and it comes across the tape, which I really, really do like. And I put Jamar Jefferson higher because he was drafted 7th round. And because I think he's, you know, played a little bit more. He's played more games. I'm not sure he's a better athlete. Well, let's just dive into it. 5'10", 212. just turned 26. He's younger, too, a full year younger, 11 months younger. Went to Oregon State, another, you know, West Coast guys. He was the Pac-12 Offensive Freshman of the Year for the entire, you know, way back, whatever it used to, it's not the Pac-2 anymore. He had 1,380 yards as a freshman with 12 touchdowns. He had 2 4-touchdown games for Oregon State, the Beavers. The problem was he never replicated that. Got worse and worse, never got over 1,000 yards or double-digit touchdowns again in a season. He's from Los Angeles, went to Harbor City, and led them to a state title. He was a stud in high school. His nickname is Munchie. He kind of has championed that. That's his Twitter handle and all that kind of stuff. He was a seventh-round pick, 257 in 2021. Third-to-last pick, you know, not quite not quite Mr. Irrelevant. Sorry, I was like, what is it? Went a full round later. Elijah Mitchell went in the sixth round that year. Niners didn't have a seventh round pick in 2021. He went a full round later than that. Ran a 4.6. And, you know, this is, you know, a pro day guy, combine guy. You look up his spider chart, it's one of the worst I've ever seen. He's not an athlete. He's a better football player than athlete, Jamar Jefferson. But, man, just attitude, anger, like, dude just needs a Snickers. You know what I mean? Like, don't get hangry. This dude's just hangry all the time. And he's had a crazy career. He comes out in 2021, gets playing time, and then no action for 2 years. So as a rookie, he makes the team, gets some carries, special teams mostly, and then for 2 years, nothing. I can't find injury stuff on him. No clue what happened. 2022, 2023, just vanished, and then comes back. The Lions bring him back and gets probably his best year in 2024. He's played in career 17 games, 21 rush attempts for 96 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 receptions on 6 targets. Lot smaller receiving sample size, but 5 out of 6 ain't bad for 33 yards, 25 special team snaps. You know, watching Jamar Jefferson, it's just like I could point my finger and say, yeah, angry, nobody wants to tackle him. Whenever I'm looking at Jordan Mims, I'm like, well, he can do everything. He's better on routes. Short yardage is kind of his thing. I don't think either one of these guys are going to make the roster, but you needed depth and you got depth. You got 2 running backs now that have experience in the NFL, multiple teams. They're slower, but you got some thumpers in there. Man, it'd be nice to have a short yardage back. Use one. Maybe Jamar Jefferson or Jordan Mims can become that. Thomas, do you think if Mims somehow scores a touchdown, they'll play this? This is why I'm hot. Oh, that's awesome. Where's Wade? He could. I don't want to butcher it, but I love it. So, yeah, that's Jordan Mims and Jamar Jefferson, the 2 newest 49ers. So now we know a little bit, just angry, bowling ball, short, stubby, stocky running backs. That's what they are. Now, Derek Canteen comes in at number 80 on the 49ers roster countdown. And again, our whole criteria, who makes the biggest impact this season alone? Not about the future. Josh, Ben, Zach, and myself, we rank 1 through 91. We compile, we average, and that gives us our list. Derek Canteen is up 8 spots from last year. 8 spots. He was 88 last year. And you, like the thing about him, safety, former rookie tryout player that won a spot and stuck with the team all year. His goal last year, Derek Canteen, the safety, just make the practice squad. Not only did he make the practice squad, he was on the practice squad the whole damn year. And they brought him back. Like, this is an NFL underdog success story. Nobody's going to know about it. This, like, rookie tryout and with the team for a full year now? Where's jersey number 40? Respect. I wore 40 in high school. 5'11", 197, that ideal kind of build for 49ers defense back. He's 25 years old. Played at Georgia Southern for 3 years. Transferred to Virginia Tech. Then transferred to Cincinnati. So you got 3 separate, you know, schools, whatever else. Went to Evans High School in Georgia. And this is important. Dual enrollment at Georgia Military College while in high school. 49ers love those disciplined, you know, those guys. This is one of those guys. It's easy to see why they fell in love with Derek Canteen, you know, military dude, doing all the extra. You got to love it, all that. He's got that in spades. Was a six-year player in college, and he tied for the NCAA lead for interceptions 1 year with six in 2020. That was a long time ago. He goes to Cincinnati, becomes a captain before he takes a snap there. Like, that's this type of guy. Osa type of character guy, right? Now, obviously, he's not a starter or going to be a team captain here, but hey, who knows? Maybe one day. Wasn't on any consensus big boards coming out of the draft. Signed as an undrafted free agent after rookie tryouts. Was cut, but then brought back. It was a member the entire time. And you look at what do you make in the NFL if you're on the practice squad and never get called up? $234,000. That's what you make a year. So $200,000, love it. Good for him. Never got called up to play in a game. That wasn't there, but he's got ball skills. And you look at that safety room, it's light. There are three light position groups. Safety, running back, which we just talked about, and tight end. Those are the three. Now, if you're looking at NFL value, guess which are the three lowest paid rooms in the NFL? Safety, running back, tight ends. So the premium positions they're loaded up on, and these positions that the NFL says is not quote unquote valuable or profitable or, you know, priced high, Niners shrug their shoulders at it. That's just what it is. So the safety room, you got Malik Mustafa, Jair Brown, Marquis Siegel, Sierra Neal, who's more of a special teams guy. And then you've got our guy Derek Canteen and Patrick McMorris. Derek Forrest was on this list. Now he's on IR. So that room was light, just got lighter. Just got lighter. But your top three, really top four, which is really all you're going to keep for your 53-man roster with Mustafa, Brown, Siegel, and Sierra Neal, that's kind of set. Derek Canteen, what does he got to do? Man, just nail down that spot again as the top safety special team stud, you know, on the practice squad and maybe get called up this year. That's the goal. How cool. I want to tell you this. When you see 40 out there, Derek Canteen, if he ever plays the NFL snap, I want you to remember this because you're going to be like, oh, that was that dude. Rookie tryout, hung out for a full year, came back. Now this dude's playing that. Like, that is cool as hell, man. And I understand if talking about the number 80th player on the 49ers roster isn't your jam. I get that. But these dudes are living dreams, man. They are living dreams. And I am a Derek Canteen fan. I'm not quite sure what else to say besides that. Such a freaking stud. Such a stud. Now, let's get to number 79. Brandon Parker, offensive tackle. Now, before we get there, I forgot to say, we do have another Deshaun Stribling tape up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. We have full film breakdowns, all 22 tape, on the entirety of the 49ers rookie class. We're going through round two now. So we got multiple games. We have Deshaun Stribling. I went to his 2024 tape, Washington State. Translates so much better for the 49ers. You see dig routes, slant routes. It's still a stretch to the 49ers system. But I'm telling you right now, like 2024 tape for Deshaun Stribling is much more translatable to the 49ers because they run actual route tree. It's not just all hitches, hitch and go, hitches, hitch and go. So go check that out. Very, very fun tape. He's really, really good player. Just consistent. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, right here, depths are amazing how running backs are so underrated, but try and play without one and see what happens. Yeah, Shanahan is tied to the running back position more than any other coach, which is crazy when you think about his dad, right? His dad didn't care. I don't care. Undrafted free agents, throw them out there. And Kyle Shanahan did it too with Alfred Morris, right? I think he was a sixth rounder. Matt Breida, he's done it with that before. But, man, when he doesn't have a running back he likes, that Shanahan system just goes kaput really, really quick. David, appreciate you, man. This is the kind of content I was desperate for as a kid during the offseason. I know, man. Dude, I remember what we would do. We would get our playing cards, right? Because, man, we would walk, me and my brother, we'd walk down to the movie rental in River Oaks. It was about 2.2 miles away. We'd walk down there, and you know they had Street Fighter and cards. That's what we would just hang out there all day. And whenever we had money, we'd buy a pack of cards, and I just memorized the stats on the back of the card. Like, that's what we would do. And be like, oh yeah, he averaged 4.7 yards per carry back in, you know, whatever it was. Now it's a little bit different. There's so much content out there. You can talk about Niners all day, and that's a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing. I am very thankful that there are people, you are the people I am referring to, people that care. I never knew this would be my job or my career, but here we are. How many episodes are we at? 1,652 episodes. That is stupid, but stupid awesome. And the only reason why we can do that is because of you. So thank you for watching, listening, however it is. Hit subscribe. If you haven't yet, help us out. Number 79 on this roster countdown, Brandon Parker, offensive tackle, elite size. Dude's a behemoth. 6'8", 320. Whew! And experience. This guy has played a lot of football in his career. And, I mean, he's an athlete with huge arms. Paris Johnson is a junior, is his closest comp on mockdraftable.com. 79% athletic matchup. 6'8", 320. Like, this dude is bigger than Trent Williams, height-wise, length-wise. Now, he's not Trent Williams, and he's not Paris Johnson Jr. He's 30 years old, and he's just played a lot of football. Came out of North Carolina A&T, sorry, I apologize. It just, man, what's crazy is he was drafted in 2018. He went five picks ahead of Fred Warner. Talk about third rounders, right? Brandon Parker was drafted ahead of Fred Warner. And that, not trying to like shame Brandon Parker by any stretch, but man, dude, a Hall of Famer got picked after you? Like, it just puts the draft into perspective, right? Like, hopefully that makes sense. Born and raised in Kannapolis, North Carolina, went to A.L. Brown High School, was not recruited out of high school at all. He was a tall and skinny kid, but, you know, had a good college career, led to him being drafted in the third round by the Oakland Raiders. He was 65th overall. You're talking top of the third round. But what he did at the college level, you know, this was before NIL, obviously, three-time MEAC offensive lineman of the year, never allowed a sack in college. Three times, three seasons, never, never gave up a sack. Never. Incredible. Was a solid player in the NFL, and he played a lot. Like this guy played 59 games. Like this is a player that has played football. Was a solid player, kind of lost his job, bounced around a little bit. And, you know, he's been with the Raiders, the Falcons, the 49ers. And this is his second stint with the 49ers. He was on the team back in 2024 in the practice squad in the middle of the season. They cut him, wasn't with us for a year. Then they brought him back. So they've seen him. They're familiar with him. They like him. 33 starts going into his ninth season, played in 59 games. Best year was back in 2021. He started 13 games. Just kind of has been a swing tackle. That's his job. So he's the number three to number four tackle. One start in 2024 for the 49ers. That was about it. It's just another veteran offensive tackle. Enrique Cruz, probably going to take his job. This is just what it is. But this is a guy, Brandon Parker, has made $10.4 million. That is a win. Ladies and gentlemen, one of us wins, we all win. That is generational wealth. Hopefully he takes care of it and puts it to good use. He signed a one-year, $1.2 million deal with the 49ers. No guarantees. And with the way Austin Pleasance played, like, let's just go through the depth chart at tackle. Trent Williams, Colton McKivitz, Vidarian Lowe, Enrique Cruz. Those guys are making the roster. Those are the four. So Austin Pleasance, Brandon Parker, Zach Thomas, Isaac Calico, like, there's a lot of odd men out. I would not be shocked if a transaction is made where you lose a tackle and you bring in a running back, tight end, or safety. But you can't do that because Trent Williams is not here. And Trent Williams don't practice on Wednesdays. A lot of times Trent Williams don't practice on Thursdays. So you got to have guys that get reps there that don't screw up your offensive, you know, practice. So, like, you can't just throw Joe Schmo in there at left tackle. Well, Brandon Parker's not Joe Schmo. This is a $10 million man that's played in 59 games at left tackle. Yeah, do you want him starting? Do you want him to be really even your backup? No, but this is somebody that's played a lot of football that you could put in there and just say, look, Trent's not in. Maybe some Vidarian Lowe gets banged up or he's playing right tackle or whatever. Let this guy go in there and he's going to be just fine with the number twos. He's not going to, you know, get Mac Jones injured in a, you know, what's it called? Inter-squad scrimmage or joint practices or whatever else. So that's where it is. And yeah, Debser, it is kind of crazy being drafted ahead of Fred Warner. Like, could you imagine telling your grandkids, I actually got drafted ahead of Fred Warner. What's up, 916? Appreciate you, man. Thomas, cards and video games laid my whole groundwork for memorizing player stats. Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah. Video games are where it's at, man. Video games are where it's at. I love it, man. Oh, what's up, Shannon? Appreciate you. It's so wonderful to see you. We love you too. All right, let's get to our last player on today's roster countdown. Number 78, Bryson Eason. Fun player. Priority free agent this year for the 49ers. Defensive tackle. Huge. Niners, there's nobody else in this roster that looks like this guy. 6'2", 323. This is the Earl Mitchell, right? Like, they used to have this guy, this build on the roster. Haven't had it recently. Big old dude. Durable. He plays a lot of football. Jersey number 67 for the 49ers, which, like, you watch his tape at Tennessee. This was a guy that was recruited to play Mike linebacker to Tennessee. Now, and he wore jersey number 20, which is cool in and of itself. But how big was he? I got it right. He was a 265-pound Mike linebacker. That's insane. Then they moved him to outside kind of linebacker rusher, then defensive end, then defensive tackle, and that's where he should be. 6'2", 323, wearing jersey number 20 is hilarious. It's pretty fun to look at. And like, you pull up the tape, you're just like, wait a second, what? They put a running back over there? But anyway. He's 24 years old. He played at Tennessee for 5 consecutive years, didn't transfer. He attended Whitehaven High School, played linebacker, won All-State honors twice, started varsity as a freshman on a 6A Tennessee undefeated team and was finalist for Mr. Tennessee. He was finalist for it. Not a small school. Like, you're talking 6A state champs undefeated. This dude was alpha as alpha gets in the state of Tennessee. And he was good. The problem, you can't have the same amount of sacks whenever you start every single game as John Chapman when John Chapman don't play. And so here is the problem with Bryson Eason. He's huge. He's a damn good player. Never been injured. Plays every single game ever. He doesn't bring anything in pass rush. And in today's NFL, pass rush is king. You can be a plugger for 2 downs sometimes. And that's kind of the problem with Bryson Eason. It's because he doesn't bring anything to the pass rush game at all. You just really, really don't. But, you know, he started 13 games at Tennessee, 3 consecutive seasons in a row. Like, this dude, you just plug him in, graduated with a degree in communications. You love to hear that. Obviously, communication is key for, you know, just defense and team football in general. I did not do a draft write-up. You know, we did 200 and about 20-something. He wasn't one of them. Dane Brugler with The Athletic had a 6-round grade on him and said, quote, Eason needs to become a more instinctive and technically consistent player, but he has the talent to serve multiple roles. Though I don't see a super high ceiling, he can provide scheme versatile depth on the defensive line, end quote. Now, I watched him this week. Change of direction and speed are completely absent. It's not there. He's a rhino. He's going one way. If it's a counter, no. Counter him out. Like, it's not there. If he gets it right early, then he could have success in the run game. Great use of hands, power, durability is his greatest asset. Like I said, just a plugger in the middle. two down player at best. Can't really use him on special teams. Use him on goal line packages only. Like that's the problem. The ceiling, just not there for Bryson Eason. But man, you know, fun player. He played 546 snaps last year. Like that's a lot of snaps. 61 career college games, 105 tackles, 22 tackle for losses in his career, 4.5 sacks. None of those came last year. None of those came last year. That's the killer. And got no guarantees. He signed a 3-year, $3.1 million, pretty standard minimum priority free agent role, but with no guarantees. And the problem with Bryson Eason is there was another priority free agent signed at the same position with the largest guarantee that they offered anybody. The 49ers are known as a very, very cheap franchise whenever it comes to priority free agents. I think it was Spotrac put out the list of how much money was divvied up to priority free agents that weren't undrafted free agents. 49ers were 28th out of 32 teams. They are every year. In my opinion, Larry Kruger says this as well, this is one of the cheapest ways to go out there and help your team. But the Niners just do not spend here. They pick one or two players, and that's it. And I think that that is a miss. But you look at the defensive tackle room, talk about a complete overhaul. I am so proud of what the 49ers have created. Now, you got to see if it works. Osa Odighizuwa, Alfred Collins, one of my favorite players, CJ West, Grayson Halton. That is a badass four. That is a young. Osa's only 28. Sebastian Valdez, Evan Anderson, James Thompson Jr. He's the priority free agent. They got the huge signing bonus. And then Bryson Eason. You got eight guys. Now, Bryson Eason has to pass Evan Anderson for that plugger role. Evan Anderson's played a lot of good football. He played a lot of good football. It's going to be hard to pass him. But, you know, I like this player. These are the type of signings where I'm just like, ooh, nice. Like, dude, there's a role. He's durable. Tell me you don't like that. And he can stop the run. That's what he can do. You got him for free? Maybe something comes out. Maybe he shines. It says something for somebody that's played that much football in the SEC. Hopefully that comes through. So that's going to do it for our episode today. We got some nuggets on Kyle Shanahan's presser. And we got five new 49ers players added to the roster countdown. Number 82, Jordan Mims. Number 81, Jamar Jefferson, the two new added running backs. Number 80, Derek Canteen, the rookie tryout holdover. 79, Brandon Parker, you got a veteran offensive tackle that's huge. And 78, priority free agent Bryson Eason. Got some vets, got some youngsters. That's the way teams should be built. Fun episode. Thank you, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed this. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.